Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to another episode of Honesty Talk. In this episode, we are going to discuss something that we've seen become a bit of a trend on social media, and that is when sisters are finding their voice, they're speaking up about certain issues, about certain topics, and then they're being labeled as being feminists and taking things to an extreme. So this is what we want to discuss today. And we've received that, right? Mm-hmm. By simply being on camera as Muslim believing women, talking candidly and openly about certain topics, dare I say it, smiling, laughing,
being ourselves,
being actually very honest and raw about issues that women face, that we have also been labelled as too liberal, as feminists, I think a couple of comments, maybe man-haters, which is
that
bizarre.
One shocks me.
Yeah. So this is something that I feel we definitely need to bring to the table. More and more sisters, more and more Muslim women are speaking up, they're doing things, they're out there. Talk to me. Sumaya, I know you have a lot to say.
It's just the question of why does it have to be at their expense? Why does it have to be perceived that way? So someone standing up for themselves, coming into their own, finding their voice, why does that have to be seen as aggression towards someone else? And I think it's kind of the argument of whenever you see like religious leadership campaigning for one, you know, humanitarian cause, they say, well, what about this country? Well, what about, it's this kind of by elimination, you didn't, you know, include our point of view. And we were joking yesterday and I was saying, you know, if you want to talk about your point of view, get your own show. Like, that's not what we're here. Yeah, I had to get, that's what not what we're here to talk about. But the fact that these things need to be said, and as women, there's nothing wrong with you talking about your experience. There's nothing wrong with you talking about how you perceive things or what you go through. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're saying it to dig at the guys or take something away from them. It's just, we're just talking about our experience. Is there some element of, it feels like insecurity? Like whenever someone stands up a little taller, we feel like, oh, you're trying to step on me. I don't see you. What's that about? What do you think?
You know, it's interesting because women are as guilty, equally as guilty of labeling any woman who talks about female empowerment or female rights, right, as feminism. And it boggles my mind because women were given, handed greater rights with Islam.
Yes.
And yet, as Muslim women, in upholding our rights, we're feminists. If you want to really talk about, subhanAllah, feminism, like, is feminism actually female empowerment? They're not the same thing. Because out here, we're not saying that we are equal to men.
Nope.
We're not saying that we want to even become like men. Like, I like being a woman.
Yeah, same here.
Right? And thinking that a woman saying, I have a right, Allah has given me rights and I want those rights to be upheld, is feminism, is actually mockery, because you're mocking the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who came and handed women these rights. Mm. You don't need to bury your girls alive anymore. Your women are actually to be treated and they have rights. They have a standing. You know, things like that, subhanAllah. So we're not actually purporting anything that wasn't already given to us.
Yeah, it's not new.
From our deen. And it boggles my mind why we feel, men, women feel that a woman speaking up is in some way trampling on a man. Mm-hmm.
I think it's because and I think this is actually more of a cultural stance rather than the religious one. Mm. I think within certain cultures within the Ummah, a Muslim woman is to not be seen and not be heard. And a righteous woman is one who, you know, lowers the volume of her voice, changes her tone, shouldn't speak, shouldn't be seen, and so on. And one thing that kind of comes to mind for me is, you know, when one of the female companions stood up and spoke, and she accounted Umar radiallahu anhu over a right that Allah azza wa jal had given to women. And so I wonder if it's a cultural thing that we have adopted this cultural stance that the Muslim woman should be an embodiment of haya, and that equates to zipping up and not speaking. But subhanAllah, if we look back again at history, we see that the female companions, they spoke. They you know, they asked questions, they accounted when accounting needed to be done.
They were on the battlefield.
They were on the battlefield, subhanAllah. So where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? And why is it that it becomes an issue, like you said, like you rightly said, not just for brothers, not just for men, but also for some sisters as well. I mean, some sisters will slam one, other sisters down.
I don't get that one. I don't get it. I don't even have words. I don't get it. I don't get how a woman can see a woman rising. Oh, wait, maybe it just points to her own insecurities. Yeah. All right. Maybe it points to those sisters are speaking up. That jars me. That irks me because I can't do that myself.
Yeah. This to me is screaming shadow work. Because I see you doing something that I have a rule I'm not allowed to do. Mm. And that is grating on me because I'm not allowed to speak up. I'm not allowed to articulate. That is bad. That is arrogance. That's conceit. That's all of these labels. So when you do it, I want to judge you and jump down your throat. But inside of me, part of me has things to say, has things to contribute. And I think it's kind of, it's hypocritical in the sense that in society we want you know, this cultural understanding that you're talking about wants women not to go to, you know, get their university degrees or qualify or be professionals or contribute in the public sphere in any way because the woman's place is at home or whatever. But then we want the female doctor, we want the services, we want, you know, so which one is it then? Mm. Which one is it? We have to get really clear about that. And it feels like a cop out. It feels intellectually lazy to, when I disagree with you or you say something that I think is out of line, I'm just gonna shoot you down with a label and get you to just kind of stand down. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna attack you. And if you say something, yeah, I can just say you're a feminist. Oh, they're the feminist, and we get the mob. You know, bring the pitchforks.
Yeah, and what I think what's dangerous about that is that there's a lot of spiritual shaming. So sisters in particular will use the deen to spiritually shame another sister and place upon her a burden of guilt as though Allah is looking down upon her. Allah has almost enacted his wrath upon her because she's gone to the extreme feminism. And for someone who isn't grounded within the foundation of their faith and the deen, that can affect their iman. It can affect their iman, it can affect their relationship with Allah. And this in particular, spiritual shaming, it really, really bothers me because you're interfering between a soul and its Lord. And that's dangerous territory. You don't go there. You know, if you have your opinion, then that you're entitled to your opinion. If you believe that that is what is required of you, in the sight of Allah, then that's fine. But then don't now go and interfere with someone else's level of faith and their soul and what they're offering to Allah just because they differ to you.
You know what that is purported as? Enjoining the good and forbidding.
And that is important. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is important. But subhanAllah, again, when we look back, when was that ever done with with blaming and blame and shame and such negativity and such pessimism. And no, it wasn't. Enjoying the good and forbidding the evil was clear, but it was done with character. With character. You when you see sis, yeah, adab. I mean, subhanAllah, when you find that, I'm gonna have to say it. Let me put my cup down.
It's getting serious.
No, because I remember season one, after season one, there were a group of sisters who I know, who I considered to be friends. Not close friends. I have my close friends I can count on one hand, alhamdulillah. But I consider them to be friends, not close friends. And I heard it through the grapevine that they were saying, oh, look Umrayan, look Alia, she's changed. Look, I mean, she's wearing coloured scarves now and she's on camera and, you know, she's no longer wearing niqab and, you know, and she's talking about all of these issues and she's become a feminist. And these were sisters that I would sit and drink tea with. And you know, this is, to me, this is not enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. This is. It can be seen as backbiting, but it's also, again, it's, you know what? I don't see that as anything. I don't see positivity in that at all. If you have, first of all, you have an issue with someone, or you believe that they're going to an extreme, address that person with good character. Mm-hmm. Come to them and say, you know what? This is what I believe. This is what I believe I see in you. Mm-hmm. Let's have a discussion about it. But to spiritually shame, to go back and backbite, to assassinate someone's character based on a difference, what is this? Mm-hmm. And particularly when you're simply a Muslim woman who is speaking up about issues that affect your day-to-day life as a believing woman, and you're trying to actually draw people to Allah, you're trying to help women become healthier individuals. I don't know, it gets to me.
And what you're saying about spiritual shaming, you know, we have this kind of, we see things on the surface. We say this person used to be like this and now they've gone off, you know, the religion, or they've changed, or they've gone this way, or they've gone that way. But you're not looking at the process that the person's going through. If someone has started speaking up, if someone is going through changes and adjusting and growing, and they're being met with this, mm-hmm. judgment and this criticism, and it's very easy to calculate and think, there's no space for me here. Mm. Someone like me is not welcome in the practicing realm, so I might as well, you know, I'm not on that deen vibe anymore, because I'm not welcome there and I'm not wanted there. There's no compassion, there's no understanding, it's all attacks, there's no conversation. So can we move to a space where there's less judgment and less attack? Can we have a nuanced discussion? Mm. If I throw a label at you and just say you're crazy, I'm not seeing what's going on with you. What's the matter? What led you to this? What are you thinking? Maybe help me understand you better. It's different than you're just crazy and I'm going to dismiss you and call you names.
There's a backstory. Yeah.
That's a cop out. Yeah. It's lazy. It's just lazy.
And when I've seen it in comments on YouTube. And it's wonderful on YouTube because you can hide behind any identity, mm-hmm. right? All the trolls and everybody comes up.
The roaches.
Yeah.
Come out.
I would have gone there, but.
When the lights go off.
Yes. But, you know, especially on YouTube, how it's not. So you've got a video. You probably haven't even watched the video. Right, you've seen the title only, and you've seen a woman with hijab, and you've put the two together and decided she's a feminism, and you use that to just label her without actually, one, maybe even watching the content and consuming the content, but two, engaging in a conversation that's intellectual and, you know,
healthy and wholesome. Mm.
You can disagree with people and still engage in a dialogue to understand, mm-hmm. not to get them to switch. You don't have to engage mm-hmm. people to agree with you and to have your opinion, mm-hmm. but for you to expand your understanding.
Right.
Whether you adopt that or not is irrelevant, but you allowing yourself to expand in understanding. I've had that in conversations with, I think there was a brother who posted something on a video that I had been on, and I really appreciated his comment. Like the way he was so well laid out, completely opposite to what I was saying in the video, but I appreciated the way he came with his comment and said, da 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 da. And I was like, you know what, brother? Thank you so much for laying it out like that. I actually appreciate your perspective.
And you're, you're then more open to consider his points.
And I can take that perspective on and see that there's another angle to what I believe, even if I still hold my own belief, you know? This is how we engage and this is how we grow. When you just label, when you just throw a label down, you're not aiming to grow. You're not able to, you're not aiming to understand. You're not aiming to engage. You're actually just aiming to shut that person
down. It's simply a projection of
what's going on. And it's really immature.
Yeah. It's a projection as well.
I say, for me, when I see men specifically doing this, women too, but when I see men specifically doing this, I think it calls to something going on with your ego. And there are going to be men who watch this and go, no, ego, that's what you're talking about. Okay. It speaks to something in your ego. Something has been hurt. And you're seeing a woman speaking out. When you see a woman, or if you see a woman speaking about something or sharing something and it jars you and it leads you to immediately think, oh my God, she's such a feminist. Check yourself, because there is something in there that's a mess. And that feeling is actually a call and invitation to check it and to work on it, to get curious and to see what it exactly about what she said. What is it exactly about how she's dressed that's jarring me? Right? Because you can say, oh, women should be dressed like this, or women should be, you're not her husband. So that ghira of her, you're not her husband, right? That's her husband's, her father, her brother's role. You as an outside Muslim man, you actually have no say in how she dresses or how she puts herself out there. But you want to check yourself. What is it really that's being disrupted within you that you feel that you need to write? You're such a hijabi feminist. Hijabi. That's what I've seen. Swear down.
Yeah, that's
all. Hijabi feminist. And it's spelt like that. That's what I'm saying.
It's said with that accent. Yeah.
But you know what has gone unnoticed and hasn't been spoken about is, so you have all of these sisters speaking up. They have found their voice and they want to use it. What we're not talking about, what we're not bringing to the table, and this is with brothers and sisters, is what on earth is going on in the lives of individuals, within families, society at large, that women have to find their voice and say something, and they feel desperate to do so. We're not talking about the lead up, the backstory that's leading Muslim women to the point that they feel, if I don't speak up now, my daughters and their daughters and their daughters are going to suffer. I need to break the generational trauma. It needs to stop here. The cycle cannot continue. We're not talking about these things. All we're seeing, or we're hearing rather, are brothers and sisters saying, oh, you're a feminist because you're talking about this. You're extreme because you've come out and you're being seen. And but hold on a second. Why are we doing honesty talk?
The fact that we have to do something.
I mean, just talking about honesty talk.
Yeah.
Why is it that honesty talk, I mean, alhamdulillah, and all praise is due to Allah, and nothing can come about except by His permission. All of the views that you see on YouTube with honesty talk, they're all organic. We have never spent a single penny on an ad. That shows you that people, and again, it's by Allah's permission, people are resonating with what we're saying. Why is it
Muslim and non-Muslim
sisters and brothers? Why is it that honesty talk has become what it's become? Because people are going through things. The rights that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to women in particular are not being met. And as a result of that, souls are breaking, families are falling apart, children are leaving the deen, women are depressed, but we're not talking about that. All we're saying is that when someone chooses to speak up about it, you're wrong. You're leaving
and
the deen,
it's the
you're
roots causing,
but we're not looking at the roots, and that's important. It's very, very important.
And this is what we we are disruptive. Yeah, we're disrupting the narrative of remaining, allowing the status quo to be as it is. Mm-hmm. You know, we are coming and saying no more. Actually, it doesn't have to be like, actually, this actually is not healthy. This thing that we've been going around doing is not normal and it's not healthy. Just because it has been going on like that for so long, it doesn't mean that that's the right way. Mm-hmm. And so we're coming and saying, hey, we're shining a light on all the uncomfortable bits, all the bits that we've always tried to hide. Mm-hmm. We're doing that. And then we're being told, sit down, you're feminists. Mm-hmm. Because it's why it's uncomfortable. That's what it is.
But you know what? I like the word that you use, disruption. When you said that, the first thing that came to mind was, you know, when Allah Azza wa Jal sent the prophets to disrupt the pattern of jahiliyyah, of ignorance, to disrupt,
to change the culture.
You know, there has in the course of humankind, in the course of history, there had to be people. I mentioned prophets, but we're talking about even figures. You know, there has to be people that come and like you said, they shine a light on the misgivings, on the rights that are not being fulfilled. And it's important. And you know what? It's only much later that people see, that was needed, that was necessary. You know? Samaya, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking that what you guys are saying about having the conversation and getting to the root cause, I'm also thinking about what you said, what's going on for you that you're having this visceral reaction to seeing someone speak up about something as basic as getting God-given rights, or, you know, why does this grate on you? And it just makes me think of like the punishment for a crime. If we're talking about, you know, cutting off the hand of a thief, for example, who should be losing their mind over this? Is someone who has a plan to steal or steals. Like everyone else should feel like, you know, should feel like, okay, I don't want my stuff stolen. I think people deserve the right to the safety of their property. So why should I be flipping out about this unless you plan to be shortchanged in somebody's rights? You profit from this in some way. Why does this jeopardize your, what's going on? So women getting what Allah has decided is allowed for them shouldn't take away from anyone else.
No, it doesn't.
But it shouldn't eat at you. It shouldn't bother you. That and the nuanced discussion aspect of it. How are we, you know, HTT is starting the conversation. As an ummah, we need to be open enough. We need to be secure enough because, you know, part of me needing to say we need to borrow from feminism, like Islam is short, so mm-hmm. I need to borrow from here and there to cover. It's covered.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we need to wear it properly in the first place. Uh-huh. And
this is gonna be like
this is a thing. And
no, absolutely.
We need to do it properly. Yes. That and we need to get to a place where we're able to have these discussions about the shortfall without it being an attack. Because, you know, now that we can say, okay, we do have a problem when it comes to, you know, women feeling secure enough to say what's going on for them. When someone speaks up about abuse in the community, it shouldn't be jarring to anyone except someone who's a potential or past abuser.
Right.
Everyone else should be up in arms about this.
Absolutely.
And say, you know what, we stand with them, and this definite, we need to, let's put actual practical things in place to secure, let's get behind this and support it. It should open up more discussion. It shouldn't be like, oh, shut it down. So this is moving to a place of open conversation. We can't fix the issues that our ummah is facing if we're continually trying to sweep them under the rug.
Yes. We gotta
reach a place where we're secure enough in that what Allah gave us will suffice us. So let's embrace it like wholeheartedly. We don't need to pick and choose.
No.
We don't need to audit and censor. We just do it right.
Yeah. And when it's done right, then there wouldn't be a need for people to rise and stand and correct and, you know, because it's being done right. It's
they would be secure.
Properly.
Yeah.
It would be secure, exactly. Yeah.
So I think I think this I'm so glad that we decided to speak about this because there are sisters who are afraid to speak up. They're afraid to venture out
almost, because they're going to be slammed by their community as being unreligious, as having become too liberal, as you know, becoming a feminist. And I think it's really, really important that we identify that there is mess, mm-hmm. and that mess needs to be addressed, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with addressing it. Mm-hmm. And by the mere fact of addressing it doesn't mean that you are X, Y, and Z.
Yes,
right? Mm-hmm. Layinka, your thoughts.
I was just thinking that when we finally fix all our mess, we can just retire.
There's nothing to discuss.
There's nothing to discuss.
No more talk.
We can enjoy.
We can just
watch
progress.
The view,
we
you
can,
know?
Yeah. But, but, you know, on a serious note, it wouldn't it be refreshing where we can talk about the beauty of it all, where we can see our children basking in the light of being themselves, upholding each other's rights? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have those kind of discussions, to be in those circles where we can make dua for Allah to just prolong and bless and increase it for us? Wouldn't it be amazing? Mm. It's the nature of this world, we know. Mm. But just, you know, just thinking back to that, back to the topic of female empowerment or female voices being an act of feminism. I say, I'm not out here telling any woman to burn her bra. I'm just telling her to wear a better fit.
I know, right? Quotable.
And that's it. Yeah. We're not out here telling women to hate men. We don't hate men.
No, we don't.
For the record,
factually,
we don't hate men. Mm. We're not out here telling women to hate men. We know that men and women need each other. We need each other.
Compliments.
Right? Mm. We're meant to work together, not against each other. Mm. So we're not out here telling men, women, oh, hate all men are trash, all men are, that's not our narrative. And I think people have misheard us and misheard what we have said, especially in the first two seasons, as labeled us as man haters. We're not man haters. We're out here wanting everyone, man, woman, to come correct.
Yes.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Come correct, fulfill each other's rights, do right by each other, live the deen. That's it. Yeah. It's as simple as
that. And until that's done, we will continue to speak.
Yes,
we will continue to bring it to the table. We will continue to stand. And I think that this is something that Allah, in my opinion, is pleased with. When He has laid out certain rules and certain rights and they go unfulfilled, then I do not see a believing individual, whether man or woman, speaking up about a right that Allah has given to another person going unfulfilled as something wrong. Mm-hmm. I believe that actually when we remind that Allah has given this right, that you need to change, that you need to come correct, that actually this is something that is pleasing to our Lord.
Yeah. Mm. And I want to make the distinction between this idea of da'wah and presenting Islam as, you know, as it is, you know, a wholesome, complete way of life. And this idea that if you say anything that's critical of the status quo, that you're in some way airing our dirty laundry and this and that and the other, you can. In fact, having honest discussions about where we can do better and where we can improve, is this honesty is a more sincere form of da'wah, because we're willing to look inward and fix. Because I have the potential. If I'm willing to work, I have the potential to reach way higher.
Yes.
If I want to sweep things under the rug and pretend I'm perfect and say, this is da'wah, let me present the, you know, the bit, that's dishonest, I think. And I think moving towards a more honest conversation, it is da'wah, because people can see your community has this particular issue, but here you are talking about it and willing to take steps. And I want to be part of a faith where people are able to be there for each
and
other
like
that.
We've had comments like that. We've had comments from non-Muslims. We have non-Muslim viewers who have emailed us, who have messaged and said, you know what? I'm not Muslim. I don't believe in your faith, but I am so grateful. Thank you for being so honest about the issues that you are encountering and offering solutions and different ways of thinking. And that's appreciated by non-Muslims.
And we've had non-Muslims take the shahada.
And we have, alhamdulillah.
Who have come to us and said, after watching XYZ, I looked into Islam. And that has never been our intention, but it goes to show how being honest about the mess that we are facing in our ummah has drawn someone's heart to look into the faith, you know, and to see actually this is really wholesome.
It's real.
It's real. We're not out here trying to be like we're all holy. That's a lie. We're not all holy. No. We are inherently sinful. Yeah. We are inherently flawed and human. Mm. And when we allow ourselves to embrace our humanity and to see where we need to work and to do the work and to commit to the work, that's where the beauty comes. Mm. Not from faking it and pretending that everything is fine, it's all good here, because we've seen that in other faiths and other communities when the scandals start to come up. So it's for us to actually look at ourselves and be willing to shine light in those uncomfortable areas so that we can clean them and work on them.
Yes. Mm. And I think on that point,
yeah, we are.
I think, alhamdulillah, we have brought it to the table. Mm. Alhamdulillah. So please do share your thoughts and comments with us. And we're going to bring another topic to the table in the next episode, inshallah.
When this particular relationship is affecting your mental, emotional well-being, that's where there's a level of toxicity.
Is this relationship with this person making me feel whole?
The reason why she suffered is because she was in a relationship with a narcissist.
Grounded.
Then we start analyzing him. Mm. We're not looking at her.
Healthy.
Her role in condoning and staying and what part of her needed that.
If it isn't, then you need to start asking some questions.